Just in case you hadn't noticed, the Florida Jazz Blues Festival is here for the first time ever at Cascades Park. It's happening all this weekend. Scotty Barnhart is with us, John Brown, and a young artist, Mason Margot. He's a student at FSU. Miriam Dady has another guest in the business spotlight, and it's all because this is Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
American Commerce, visionary, hardworking, innovative, reaching higher, investing more, giving more. This is American Commerce. It's an ideal that has inspired the world to dream and believe that we can all do better. American Commerce Bank believes just that we can all do better. We can achieve the goals that small business owners aspire to every day, providing these owner-managed businesses with the tools and services they count on, creating opportunity, providing leadership and direction to help them grow, to inspire them to believe in more. This is American Commerce Bank, right here in Tallahassee, and right now offering 2% annual percentage yield on 60-month certificates of deposit. That's reaching higher. That's American Commerce Bank. Online at AmericanCommerceBank.com. Rates are effective as of August 15, 2016, and are subject to change without notice. New money only. Minimum balance $500. APY assumes principal and interest remain on deposit until maturity. A penalty may be imposed for early withdrawal. American Commerce Bank. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Yes, my friend, it is true. The Florida Jazz Blues Festival is upon us in such short order, too. We had conversation here some weeks ago when John Brown was a guest with Miriam Dady. We're going to bring that conversation back to you so you get a chance to kind of hear what was going through this young man's mind and his musings about such things. And his working with Scotty Barnhart, world-famous jazz trumpeter. Can that man blow a horn? Absolutely. Well, here it is. It's the weekend of Florida Jazz Blues Festival at Cascades Park, and we've invited Mason Margot. He's a student over there at FSU, majoring in jazz performance. He'll be with me. Pianist, marvelous jazz pianist. Some insight there as to his beginnings in music and his role in this weekend. One of many jazz artists from local and around the country. Some of this is ticketed. Some of it is free. So you want to check it out online, you can do that. But here you're going to get the backstory on how all of it has come together. And I think from our standpoint, how meaningful it is that we have this now added to this growing list, this expansive lineup of events and activities. And they're more than just concerts. You know, there's festivals like this and observances of various kinds, right? And some of those things that have helped to redefine and are redefining, reshaping the new Tallahassee. All of these that have come about that we talk about most recently in the last 10 years are diverse in nature. Now, many of them are tech-oriented, yep, and the tech, we'll say, community is growing thanks to the work of lots of folks in that whole thing. Taltech Alliance, not the least of which, has been contributive. Even our own governor, who's been working to attract more and more private industry to the area, people like KCCI and all kinds of initiatives that have come about. And so we see this Jazz Blues Festival as another contribution there. God bless John Brown and Scotty Barnhart and all of those who are working behind the scenes, working pretty hard. The marketing has been remarkable. The organization, the lineup alone, if you look at the depth, I mean, my goodness. The artists that you're hearing about or may actually get to hear if you're in attendance. Yeah, man, it's the real deal, as we say. Well, in addition, of course, there are some other things going on around, and we wanted to take note of that. And I've got a really neat way of doing that for you, too. Young man who has joined our ranks, Andrew Rybeck, is going to be with me here shortly. And he has a little segment that he's entitled, What You'll Be Doing. I think that's his call. What You'll Be Doing with Andrew Rybeck. Okay. No, I'm sorry. It's What You'll Be Doing This Week. Thank you. Okay. What You'll Be Doing This Week with Andrew Rybeck. Well, he's going to be here, and he'll give you that listing of some of the very cool things going on in better fashion than I can. You know, because, well, he's good. He's good at what he does. Me, I'm just kind of reading along here with the script. And I have in front of me this note from our good buddy Rick Miner. You know that Rick is the guy who was running for Leon County Commission. Or no, he was running for City Commissioner. Backed away when Scott Maddox decided to stay in the race and abandon his bid for superintendent of schools, right? All that happened. And then, magically, Rick announced that he had been asked to take on the role of chief executive officer over there at America's Second Harvest of the Big Bend. Good spot for Rick, I think. I think he'll do a good job. And by the way, he's also one of the guys that was an architect for the Tallahassee Music Week. Speaking of festivals and changing landscape, changing identity for Tallahassee, the Tallahassee Music Festival comes up every spring. And it kind of ties in with that whole Word of South thing. Yeah, so Rick's contributive, we'd say. A mover and a shaker, perhaps. Although I haven't seen him shaking much, but he definitely knows how to move things forward. For example, just in the days that transpired with the catastrophe that Hurricane Hermine brought upon us, they distributed 40,000 pounds of water, breakfast food, snacks, ice, and frozen meat. Yeah, so that was sizable. They served as a staging and storage facility for 66 large pallets of bottled water. Now, these pallets would fill up your living room. 4 pallets of ice and 22 pallets of Salvation Army flood cleaning cleanup kits. So they had all that on hand. And then they had volunteers working tirelessly to sort all of that and distribute to all of those families and individuals that were in need. They had mobile pantries going out. They do need some help with expenses, so they're asking for a little help there. And you know how it works over there. You give a dollar, they make it do the work of $10. Yeah. So a $10 gift, well, I guess it's a 1-to-4 ratio. Anyway, they know how to make your money go further because they have all the buying power, right? So $10 equals 40, I think is how that goes. Anyway, send them something or just email Rick and say, keep going. We love you and thanks for all the hard work. But, of course, a check would be even nicer. I mean, your love and affection is appreciated, I know. But still, here's another thing. We've got, this is the Hurricane Hermine community meetings that have been going on, and those are still happening. A couple of them have already happened. They've got one coming up here on the 26th at Fire Station Number 4, West Pensacola Street, and then again Tuesday, the 27th, at St. Peter's Anglican Church out there on Thomasville Road. So these community meetings are basically a kind of review intended to give people an opportunity to discuss how recovery efforts were conducted. And it's really being brought on and provided by the city of Tallahassee. This is part of their post-hurricane recovery evaluation. So important that we contribute in that fashion. All right, as promised, I've got standing by Andrew Rybeck with What You'll Be Doing This Week. Andrew?
Coming up on Monday the 26th, you can play Word Games for Literacy. The St. Stephen's Lutheran Church is hosting their Alphabet Antics Game Night to benefit literacy volunteers of Leon County. Teams of four are going to race the clock to solve word puzzles equipped only with Scrabble boards and tiles. The top three scoring teams will win prizes, and there's going to be snacks provided by restaurants including Cool Beans and Gordo's. Tickets are just $25 an individual or $100 for a team of four. You can purchase those tickets at literacyvolunteersleon.org, and the event lasts from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Have you ever wanted to learn the timeless art of clog dancing? Well, now you can. This Tuesday, the 27th, Mason's School of Music is holding beginner and intermediate level clogging classes. The first class is free, and then it's only $20 a month, with one class every Tuesday. The class is hosted by Southern Steel Toe Dance Company at 6:30 and 7:30. And finally, there'll be an open mic night this Thursday, the 27th, located at Junction at Monroe. Bring your instruments to play along, or simply go and enjoy the good music. The event's going to last from 8 to 12 p.m., with registration for performers beginning at 7 p.m. Admission's only $5, and each performer will get a free draft of their choice. That's what you'll be doing this week. For Tallahassee Talks, I'm Andrew Rybeck.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for today's Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady, brought to you by Tallahassee Community College Workforce Development.
This is Miriam Dady, and we have another week of Tallahassee Business Spotlight. I've got a guest here in front of me, Carla Hutchinson, who has been schooling me for the last few minutes on everything that she is talented at doing with Arts After School. Is that right, Carla?
Yes, ma'am.
Tell me a little bit about Arts After School, how you came upon this, and how it was born.
Well, I have to say I'm an accidental entrepreneur. It was not my idea. I was managing military research contracts
of
at Florida State.
Yes, now I see the dovetail.
And my mom is a medical and therapeutic foster mom. I think she's had 60-some kiddos come through her household.
Wow.
Her last one was just placed in a permanent home with family, so we're really excited about that. And she literally endorsed her inheritance check over to me about 5 years ago and said, I want you to do something good for the community. We were really blessed. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. My dad worked really hard to allow us the opportunity to have a really blessed life with dance for me and music. My brother played tennis and was into sports and swimming and horseback riding and all these great things, which a lot of families that don't have the financial resources are really not able to do, but it provides such a rich background.
Yeah,
that was my mom's tasking to me, was start a program and go. So
wow,
that was how it started.
Well, what do you do? So you got this check in your hands. What happens next?
So I called my dad, who is a successful business owner, and said, Dad, what do you think? And with his help, we found a location and started the program.
And it's on Weems Road.
Yes, 3510 Weems Road. So we have a brand new facility, thanks to my father, who purchased a location and built a site for us.
I have seen your facility, and I've toured it. What a blast. Is there an age limit? Because there are a couple classes I want to take after school.
That's so funny. You're not the first one to say that. Actually, we have a lot of classes for all folks after hours, but the after school program is for school-aged kiddos.
What are the hours?
We pick the kids up from school. So depending on when they release, for most schools, it's 2:50 to 3:20. We have a middle school program this year as well, and we're open until 6 daily.
Wow. Okay. Now begin to make people salivate and talk about some of the classes you offer.
We have a really robust curriculum.
I know you do.
Let me see if I don't leave anything off. We have dance provided by Pas de Vie Ballet. They're fantastic. We have karate provided by Logan's Martial Arts Academy. Also amazing instruction. Then we have an in-house music program. We have sewing and art. We have healthy cooking, world cuisine. We have Spanish. We have gardening. We have life skills. I think
music.
Music is guitar, yes.
Wow.
So yeah, dance, karate, music, art, sewing, gymnastics, drama. I always forget drama.
Yeah, don't forget drama. That's a soft spot for me.
I know.
Well, this all happens after school.
Yes, after the school day ends.
To me, that's really when that would light my fuse as a kid. I would just be waiting to get through school so I could go to after school classes. Are they affordable? Can your average Leon County family just jump in and
think so. I mean, that was the goal. If you were to price out all of these classes individually,
right,
you know, it would be a huge amount of money. Most our families would ever pay is $432 a month for 5 days a week. And that includes two classes per day, homework, supervision, and assistance, and early pickup for those strange early release days.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that is incredible. Tell me, what is the youngest of the kids you take?
Five is really where I think the families will see the most benefit.
Mm-hmm.
On a case-by-case basis, if the attention span is there and they have immunizations and all the stuff required for us to be in compliance with DCF licensing requirements, we can go four.
Right. And as far as class sizes, how do you do that?
It depends on the activity. Really, uh-huh. We ask our instructors what they feel is optimal. So we have some classes that are as small as 8 students, and our largest class would be 20, and that would be a karate or a dance class. But
right.
They tend to hover between 10 to 15 is probably average.
How do you staff for that variety of programs?
Yeah, I'm really, really blessed to have a blend of fantastic folks. I mean, some of our teachers have been with us since we opened, that have retired from the school system. And Ms. Sheila is our oldest staff member, and she's fantastic. Then we have folks that are in college getting their doctoral degrees in music or different activities. So we are a little melting pot.
I know you are.
Yeah.
Now, if you think about the students you've had there, the parents that have come and gone.
Yeah.
How many years now?
5.
5 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was 2.
No.
5 years you've been doing this.
We have.
So you've had time to see kids cycle through.
Oh, learning, absolutely.
Learning real life skills.
Yes, that really is the goal of the program, are to sort of ignite creativity and fuel success for kids through life skills.
That's great.
Me, that's the goal. And we've been very fortunate to have amazing families. Thinking back to, you know, some of the kids that maybe have had a little bit of trauma in their background, that were struggling with behavioral issues when I first met them 5 years ago. I'm thinking of one student in particular that we were really having a hard time with, helping her even sit still, keeping her hands to herself. And now she's a volunteer with us.
Come on.
She's aged out of the program, doing fantastically, and is doing volunteer hours now that we have our nonprofit set up. So.
That is great.
Yeah.
Could they try it out? I mean, could people reach out to you on your website or call you and say, could I do a 3-month trial, or could they see how it goes?
Well, then, I'm not the best business owner, and kind of lead with my heart. So we want families to be there because they see the value of the program and because they're happy, not because they've signed their life away. So we ask for a 30-day written notice. If it isn't working out, they're not tied to us forever. So that really should make it accessible to everyone who wants to give it a shot and see if it works. And I can count on one hand in 5 years the number of families that it wasn't a good fit for.
Oh, so, Carla, you are the opposite of a bad business person. You're excellent, not just a business person, but you're what makes Tallahassee tick. You're the kind of business that we want around. And I know everybody listening, if you don't have children yourself, you know someone who does, and you're going to want to reach out and take a tour of the facility. It's beautiful. And talk to Carla and talk to maybe some of the staff. The best way to do it would be
our website. They can go to tallyarts.com. That's TallyArts.com. They can meet our teachers online and register and give us a try.
See all the different course syllabus and those kind of things. And give you a try.
Absolutely.
I am going to sign up this week. I'll put my hair in pigtails.
I love it.
There it is. But thank you so much,
Carla,
for being
here.
Thank
you, Miriam. Thanks.
I am Miriam Dady, and this is Tallahassee Business Spotlight.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
As promised, we have a wonderful opportunity to get to know one of these fantastic jazz performers that's making all of this happen this weekend with the first ever Florida Jazz and Blues Festival in Tallahassee, Florida, there at Cascades Park. This young man, Mason Margot, is that right, Margot?
Yep, Margot, that's correct.
Is a junior at Florida State University in the School of Music, majoring in jazz performance. How are you? Nice to have you with us.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yep. And you got to be pretty jazzed about the whole weekend. Sorry, that was obligatory.
Sure.
But as a pianist then, in my rather woefully ignorant status on understanding jazz, and I'll borrow from Scotty Barnhart because I've learned a lot just getting to know him.
Mm-hmm.
This is really a kind of music in which, as the pianist, you really help to establish a lot of connectivity, do you not?
Absolutely.
Is that fair?
Yep, that's totally correct.
Why don't you tell us what it's like to be a jazz pianist, I guess, in performance?
Sure. So the piano is pretty unique in the jazz world because it's responsible for a lot of different things. Okay. If you're playing in an ensemble, like a small group, say a quartet or a quintet or a big band, you sort of serve double duty as a soloist, soloist mainly, but most of the time you'll be accompanying the other musicians and making them sound good. So it's mostly about making other people sound good, and then when the spotlight's on you, being able to
Can you do that for me? Can showcase. You actually make me sound good, or is that just ridiculous?
I'll try.
You know, we could actually get you in here and have you doing like some jazz riffs and stuff, you know, while I'm trying to, never mind.
Sure.
So more so about what you are doing this weekend. Talk about what it's like to be up there on stage, Cascades Park, performing with some of the greats around the world, right?
It's going to be a really phenomenal experience. I'm really looking forward to it. This will be my first time playing at Cascades Park, but I have a number of friends who've said nothing but great things about the venue, and it looks like it's going to be very well attended.
The weather's going to hold out okay, I think.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Crossing our fingers.
Yeah, we can hope. The lineup is fantastic.
Yeah.
They did a really great job of bringing in a whole very wide range of artists who are going to be here this week, and I think people really enjoy it.
You have early beginnings in music. Most of the musicians I talk to, you know, they started out when they were little kids.
Yeah.
Was piano your first instrument or your only?
Piano was my first and really has been my main instrument. Yeah. I started taking lessons when I was 9.
Yeah.
And then my teacher retired when I was about like 12 or 13 or so.
Yeah.
And I switched to percussion performance actually through middle school and through high school and doing orchestra and marching band and wind ensemble and all that.
Yeah.
But I kept playing piano and jazz band. And later in high school, got another teacher, taught myself a lot of things, auditioned here. And, you know, I came to a jazz camp when I was going into my junior year of high school up at Florida State.
Oh, cool.
I had a really great time. And so that kind of put the thought in my head of of just, oh, maybe
I could do
yeah
this.
Maybe I could yeah. do this absolutely
sweet.
So when I auditioned, it was great, and I got it and got accepted here, and it's been absolutely fantastic being here.
Who are some of your faves in the world of jazz, including of course Scotty Barnhart, but you got to have a few that you really admire
as far as current,
in whatever way, current or past, either way.
Sure. Well, actually,
who are the ones that inspire you? I guess
on faculty at Florida State, we have an amazing pianist named Marcus Roberts, and I've gotten the chance to work with him a few times, and he has been an absolute inspiration to me.
I think a few of us would recognize Marcus Roberts.
Yeah, absolutely. he's performing on Saturday night, with his group, so that'll be really great. I mean, Marcus, there are a lot of people. I mean, starting out for me, learning piano, I really was inspired a lot by Bill Evans and people like him and Wynton Kelly and Ahmad Jamal. So that kind of classic
just
school
in terms
piano.
Of your musical taste, I mean, do you spend most of your time listening to jazz music, or are you like into all kinds of other styles of music?
I try and stay open to all kinds of different music. I will say probably like a good bit of what I listen to is jazz, definitely.
Yeah. Do you write music in any fashion? I mean, are you composing for jazz, or are you writing for other venues or other styles of music?
I've written a few jazz compositions, and this year in particular, a lot of my courses are focused on composition and arranging.
Neat. You're a junior at Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
You graduate next year.
Right.
Reasonably.
Uh-huh.
What happens then for you as a jazz artist? Do you hit the road? Do you look for a label? Do you start booking gigs? I mean, how does that work?
I'd love to do all those things. I'd love to keep performing, really. I mean, I'd love to move somewhere, keep performing, maybe go to graduate school if that ends up happening.
Right. Talked with the folks over there at B-Sharps here in Tallahassee. Are you familiar with B-Sharps?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Have you performed there?
I have.
Yeah. So when they talk to me about the old days with jazz musicians, guys like you wouldn't be going to school. You'd be out on the road.
Absolutely.
And, you know, nowadays it is a more academic pursuit as much as it is a professional endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's the way it goes. I mean, you said graduate school.
Yeah, I mean...
You have to wait to see what happens.
Yeah. I would have to wait to see what happens. But they're totally correct about that. Historically, it's been a very... I mean, the tradition of jazz has basically been passed through orally and just people just joining bands. You know, a lot of older musicians would have younger musicians join their bands, and they would kind of learn on the bandstand as they would travel around America and travel around the world, and they sort of get their education that way.
And jazz has changed a lot, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
It continues to sort of progress, evolve.
Mm-hmm.
How would you characterize that? Is it more experimental? I mean, there's various kinds of jazz, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, we've worked through in the first 50 or so years of its history. We started with sort of jazz coming out of ragtime into the swing era, into the big band era, and then after that, bebop and cool jazz. So in the first 50 years or so, we had an immense amount of change.
Mm.
And even in the last 50 years, we've had fusion, we've had the 60s more modal kind of jazz, the 80s and 90s sort of saw a revitalization of the older school.
Mm.
So we've had a constant changing, constant searching in jazz musicians for different styles of music.
I think I heard, maybe I read this, Scotty saying that there's a lot of compatibility between jazz and choral music, because there's that sense of each section having its sort of responsibility, and then you have the sort of a bass line that just carries through.
Mm-hmm.
You agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really thought about that metaphor too much, but it makes sense.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
It does.
So here you are performing on Saturday, later today, I guess. You're performing Saturday night, tonight. And that'll be at Cascades Park, folks. And just in case you hadn't been paying attention earlier, it's at Cascades Park.
Right.
And I believe tonight's performance is ticketed, isn't it? Are there are ticketed events tonight?
Yes, there are ticketed events tonight.
Well, we're looking forward to it. Our guest, Mason Margit, we appreciate you taking time with us. Much luck to you, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on.
Stay with me, folks. We've got more coming up. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far. Bed liners, bed caps, toys to throw your money at. Car stereos, car alarms, things for all you soccer moms. Tail and diamond play, pops to fix your tailgate. Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far. Exterior accessories, gift kit for your mud needs. Mud tires, nice wheels, everyone will get a deal. Window tinting, that's a must. Come on out and visit us. Truck and Car Concepts. One-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts. Everything is here from A to Z.
American Commerce. Visionary. Hardworking. Innovative. Reaching higher. Investing more. Giving more. This is American Commerce. It's an ideal that has inspired the world to dream and believe that we can all do better. American Commerce Bank believes just that. That we can all do better. We can achieve the goals that small business owners aspire to every day. Providing these owner-managed businesses with the tools and services they count on. Creating opportunity. Providing leadership and direction to help them grow. To inspire them to believe in more. This is American Commerce Bank, right here in Tallahassee, and right now offering 2% annual percentage yield on 60-month certificates of deposit. That's reaching higher. That's American Commerce Bank. Online at AmericanCommerceBank.com. Rates are effective as of August 15, 2016, and are subject to change without notice. New money only. Minimum balance $500. APY assumes principal and interest remain on deposit until maturity. A penalty may be imposed for early withdrawal. American Commerce Bank. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC. I see.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
I'm Miriam Dady, and this is Tallahassee Business Spotlight. I have a tremendous new friend and guest with me today, John Brown. Thanks for being here, John.
Thank you for having me.
I'm holding your business card in my hand right now. It says John D. Brown, Community Servant. I wish every business card I held said that. Tell me a little bit about where you come from and how you became a community servant.
Yeah, I'm a Tallahassee boy through and through, Tallahassee, Leon County. I was born and raised right here on the south side of town, right here in University Park, and right over here behind Bethel AME. And I'm here on purpose. I'm in this community on purpose. As we talked about a little bit offline, I've had an opportunity to travel, and I had an opportunity to work down at Kennedy Space Center and out at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. I'm an engineer by education, and I choose to be here. This is where I call home. So when I get to travel and see different parts of the states or different parts of the world, when I land in TLH, I'm home. So
here's the really interesting part. Well, there's so many, but one interesting part. When I think of civil engineers and jet propulsion, blues and jazz don't immediately come to mind.
Right, right, right.
How did we get to this Florida Jazz and Blues Festival that we're approaching in September?
Yeah, this is just a wonderful community initiative, something that we believe that the community needed. And we have such wonderful talent, as you know, musically right here, and we send them off into the world, and other people benefit from their entertainment. And we thought that we could do something like this right here. So why put our community, our citizens on the road to go to Jacksonville or Panama City or Atlanta or Tampa or New Orleans when we can do it right here? We have a beautiful facility, a beautiful venue in Cascades Park, and we believed if we could gather the right talent, then we could do it. And we had an opportunity to interface and pull on our team, Mr. Scotty Barnhart, As you might know, Scotty is a professor at FSU. He spends part of his time here in Tallahassee. He spends another part of his year on the West Coast in L.A., which is where he lives. And he's been traveling with the Count Basie Orchestra,
yeah,
the legendary
Count Basie.
Count Basie Orchestra for the last 23 years.
Couple of Grammys.
That's right. Yeah. Two-time Grammy-winning jazz trumpeter. And, you know, he's been the director of the Count Basie Orchestra for the last 3 years. And we asked if he would be a part of our team and help him build this out. And he said, I would love to.
So you woke up one day and you said, I'm going to get this Grammy winner with Count Basie Orchestra to help me put together the Florida Jazz and Blues Festival that's going to be like nothing else.
I wish it were that simple, but okay. No. But through many iterations, we ran into Scotty and had this discussion, and very quickly we realized who he was. I mean, first of all, in one of the first meetings, he said, I've been in every major jazz festival in the world.
No doubt.
I mean, that's a big statement.
Wow.
And he knows how they work. He knows specifically how they're set up in the sense of international talent, national talent, regional talent, local talent. And he said, we can do it, and we should do it, and we can do it right here. And right. For Scotty, it has less to do with the geography and more to do with the colliding of talent in one place. And he's helped us put a slate together that's just amazing.
Let's talk about that.
Absolutely.
First off, it's September 23rd,
September
24th, 25th.
That's right.
Cascades
Park. That's right. 23rd, 24th, and 25th. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Friday from 6 to 11 p.m. Saturday from 1 to 11 p.m. with 1 to 4 being a community portion that's free to the community. And Sunday from 1 to about 9:30 with 1 to 4 being free to the community. And that's a long day. That's pretty something pretty special for Cascades Park from 1
no
to 9:30
kidding.
On a Sunday.
And we're not talking about kids' recitals here.
No.
Tell me about some of the artists.
Again, obviously we have the Count Basie Orchestra coming in. That's 19 members from all over the globe that are flying in, descending in Tallahassee and Leon County.
Tallahassee, Florida.
Right here in Tallahassee. We have Freddie Cole, Nat King Cole's brother. We have Shamika Copeland, one of the biggest blues artists in the world. Mississippi Blues Child won all kind of different awards. I mean, we have some big names coming in, and it's going to be exciting.
That is great. So there's an element that is strictly just a gift to Tallahassee. People can take their picnic baskets,
That's
their
right.
blankets, lay out on the green there at Cascade Park.
That's right.
And people can also buy tickets for the show.
Tell me
how that works.
Yeah, so the Friday night event is ticketed. The Saturday night event is ticketed. And the Sunday night evenings are basically the evening portions are ticketed. So you can go to the website, www.fljazzandblues.com, mm-hmm. and you can buy tickets. And they different ranges. You can buy a general admission pass for a 3-day weekend for $85.
Unbelievable!
It is. I mean, you can if you were somewhere else, you could pay for the Count Basie Orchestra alone, you could pay $70 to $80. And so $85 general admission, sitting on the grass in Cascades for 3 days, you could enjoy the whole festival. For seated portions, if you wanted to sit in a seat, not reserved, it's just open mm-hmm. seating, but if you wanted a seat yeah. back, it's $120 for the whole weekend, which again is phenomenal.
We also have
student pricing, so if you're a student and you have ID, present that, then you can also get a student discount, which is also on the website or at the Moon ticket office.
That is so great. And how about being family friendly?
Oh, yeah.
You want the kids there, do you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Great.
Scotty says with jazz, the target audience is 3 to 103.
Excellent.
So we want everybody. I mean, you know, the thing is, when we spoke about this idea and had this concept, it's, you know, we want you to be able to grab your groceries or grab your picnic basket and lay your blanket down and enjoy Cascades Park, a beautiful day at Cascades. And hopefully you can pick up your blanket when it's dark and the music's over. That's what we want. And that's what you can do at a Chastain Park in Atlanta or a Pier Park in Panama City. And why not right here? Why not right here in Tallahassee when we have this beautiful facility?
Hey, it's the perfect time of year, too. Late September,
right.
It's going to be gorgeous.
It is.
So let me get this straight now. The people can come from 1 to 4
That's right.
For free.
For free.
And just listen
Saturday
to these,
and Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday. Bring your family. Bring your picnic.
That's right.
If you want tickets, you go on the website to purchase them.
Yes.
www.fljazzandblues.com.
Yes.
They can find you on Facebook.
Facebook.
Instagram.
And Twitter.
Excellent.
That's right. Same thing, FL Jazz and Blues.
That is so exciting. Tallahassee has such a rich kind of heritage.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in blues.
Oh, yeah.
Are some of our local musicians going to be involved?
Indeed, yeah. We have Marcus Roberts, which, as you know, is just a jewel. Leon Anderson, which helps lead the TSO Jazz Orchestra. We have Longinus Parsons is going to play with the FAMU and FSU Faculty Jazz.
Gosh.
Yeah, it's going to be phenomenal.
Well, I know I'm going to be there. And I'm going to buy tickets because I want to pay attention to this music. Thanks so much for making this happen. It's John Brown is my guest. You can find him through that website, fljazzandblues.com, or you can find him on Facebook. And I hope everybody turns out September 23rd through the 25th, Cascade Park. Thanks so much for being here, John.
Thank you for having me.
Trucking hard ourselves, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out the truck. Trucking hard ourselves, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Tailgating starts here at Truck and Car Concepts. Get your free tailgate pong game with your purchase of any item, $500 or more. A free tailgate pong game for your next tailgating party.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Get your free tailgate pong game this week with any purchase of $500 or more at Truck and Car Concepts across from Kraft Nissan on Mahan Drive.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800.
The most talked about topics in town, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're in the second hour of Tallahassee Talks, and you, my friend, are a sojourner in this marvelous trip down the river of excitement and entertainment, interesting news, happenings around, along with the Moose here, your faithful, devoted guide and contributor at times. Hopefully you find it amusing and interesting and informative. We certainly appreciate your listenership. Always good to have you along with me because, you know, it gets lonely. You've heard me talk with Pat Muth in recent days. Pat Muth is a Patricia, is a local author based here in Tallahassee. She has this book out recently entitled A Title in the Making, Perot Movement Laid the Foundation to Take Back America. Where do we go from here? It's published by Page Publishing. Got some book signings going on around the state of Florida, including one coming up on the 15th of October at our Barnes & Noble store here in Tallahassee, the Tallahassee Mall, what is now the center of Tallahassee. Sorry. So take note of that. Interesting perspective on how the whole Ross Perot effort back in 1992, and according to her thesis, sort of laid the groundwork then for what became the Tea Party movement. And then going forward from, let's say, 2010 and into our current political situation, the Trump campaign even drawing from those early beginnings. And so anyway, so she is out there getting this book in front of all kinds of folks. It's met with a lot of enthusiasm thus far. Happy to have had her on the show. We'll probably do it again in the coming days to kind of find out what's going on with her. Speaking of the whole political realm, I mean, not that this show is decidedly political, because we're not. You know, if we were a magazine, you'd call us a lifestyle magazine. I think that's fair. And I think that in that capacity, we find it enjoyable to talk with all kinds of people with all kinds of stories to tell. You know that. And when it comes to things of late that are bristling with political overtones, I mean, it's hard, harder, I think, to have conversations just in everyday dealings with folks without somebody bringing up, you know, well, who are you going to vote for? Or what do you think that of what he said or she said, right? Yeah, and oh, yeah, and by the way, do you remember when Facebook was about puppies and, you know, singing dogs and little kids playing with some new toy? I mean, this was the realm of Facebook, at least my experience with it, was always about what your dog had for dinner last night, and you just had to show everybody. Or the pictures that of you, you know, on the cruise ship. Not anymore. Oh, no. No. In fact, it has become a battleground. You got to be very, very careful, I think, in what you say. Skip Foster found out earlier in the week, in which he had questioned or even just sort of, I don't know, meandered into this thought that being combative in every way that you possibly can at every moment may become a bit tiresome. And I think he was right, to be honest with you. I think he was speaking to not just one topic of debate, whether it would be political or social, we'll call it, some of the tensions going on in the anger that you're hearing over racial questions and, you know, football. I mean, it's just everywhere you turn, there's some argument going on, it seems. And the arguments are not discussions from Skip's point of view. He was trying to say, can we maintain civility and can we discuss and can we exchange points of view and share thoughts without becoming combative and turning it into a personal attack and, you know, using all the kinds of tactics that have become just sort of freewheeling. Everybody has their day or their moment. And, you know, our friend Michelle Raywinkle Vasalinda, I mean, she made her declaration and then was quite candid about it. I mean, she tweeted out that she had changed party affiliation. She's, what is it now, NPA, no party affiliation is her status. Wow. So that launched a whole series of comments and you know, some were supportive, some were disapproving. Most of it was pretty civil, I guess, the stuff that I saw. It begs the question for me, and it's the tone that I try to maintain here. If you notice this, it's never been our practice to take two people or more who have opposing views and sit them side by side and let them go at it. Just not what we do here. I would rather you have opportunity to hear someone talk at length about whatever it is that they're doing. And it may or may not be controversial in any extent. Certainly not political necessarily. But if they have a point of view that they want to share, I'd like to hear it. And I'd like them to tell you. I'd rather they say it firsthand. And if anybody is screaming, I'd rather it be you screaming at your radio or your cell phone or your laptop, however you're listening to me at this moment, than hearing two folks going at each other. I don't find it productive because I think that it betrays the notion that you are quite capable of being analytical. You're quite capable of listening to an argument. You're quite capable of coming to your own conclusions rather than you sort of sitting back there with a bowl of popcorn and just letting these two people go at it, you know, sort of the WWF approach. I think that yields a lot of heat, but very little light. And so in the pursuit of more lucid conversation, I think we're fortunate that we have people who are, in many cases, quite articulate about what they care about. And I don't care if it's a jazz festival or a book like what Pat Muth has written. They got a story to tell. Let them tell the story. And then you and I can sit back and decide, what is that really all about? And, of course, my hunch is that because you are the kind of person you are, because you take the time to listen to a show like this one, you're going to research that on your own. You're going to dig in a little further. Perhaps you're going to be interested, inspired, encouraged to say, I want to learn more about that. Maybe it's, how did this whole thing with the center of Tallahassee come about, or the Cascades Park thing come about? We had Ben Pingree on here recently. Ben gave us a little insight on that. Have you dug in and figured out how the city manages utilities? Right. Or what about racial issues? We're going to have our good buddy on coming up next week, Gerald Inslee. We're going to talk about the 60th anniversary of the Tallahassee bus boycott. So there you go. See, this is how it rolls here. And, I can say this. I am grateful that you are willing to roll with me. Stay where you are. We'll be right back.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Scotty Barnhart is now in the 22nd year with the legendary Count Basie Orchestra, which he joined as a featured trumpet soloist in 1993 and then was appointed as director in 2013. In addition to winning two Grammy Awards with the Basie Orchestra, he has three critically acclaimed recordings by pianist Marcus Roberts and over 10 recordings with the likes of Tony Bennett, Diana Krall, Ray Charles, Tito Puente, just a few. Barnhart released his debut solo CD, Say It Plain, on the Unity Music label. He is a tenured professor of jazz trumpet and jazz studies at Florida State University, now in his 14th year of service to that community and to our community. Let's welcome Scotty Barnhart. How are you, sir?
Fine. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
I've tried to pronounce all of those names. Did I miss on any of those?
No, you got them perfectly.
Did I?
Man. Perfectly.
Carl, I think that's a new Olympic record for me, because I normally will just obliterate pronunciations
all
around
perfect.
Here. It's a weakness. What a pleasure to have you here with us.
Thank you, Brian.
We're going to have this man with us for the rest of the show. Mm-hmm. Because we've threatened him. If he tries to leave, we're not going to let him. But he's also going to share with us some of the music that has made him so famous and so beloved. And we're going to talk a lot about his career as a musician, as an educator. And then this little thing that, I don't know, he and John Brown came up with. We don't know exactly where this came from. We're going to find out.
All right.
The Florida Jazz and Blues Festival,
yes.
And that's coming up here next month.
That's right.
What are the dates?
September 23, 24, and 25, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Cascades Park
that's
in
right.
Tallahassee,
mm-hmm.
The very first ever Florida mm-hmm. Jazz Blues Festival in
yeah.
Tallahassee. Now, there are other jazz blues festivals mm-hmm. in various communities around Florida mm-hmm. and around the Southeast, probably around the country, right, John?
Mm-hmm.
But this is our very first.
Mm-hmm.
And Scotty Barnhart, mm-hmm. you are the man well, that is making this come together.
Along with John Brown.
Well, yes. I know that you have to say that because John gets his feelings hurt, you know, very easy. He's a very sensitive man. And so we make allowances for John because if you don't include him in the conversation, he's like me that way. I'm not afraid to die. I'm just afraid the next 5 minutes won't be about me. I get that. However, no, I happen to know that Mr. Brown... Yes. Is feverishly working with not a whole lot of time to spare here, folks. And you got to tell me, where did this whole thing spring from? Where did this start with
Well,
you?
It was John's idea. I got a call from John, and he said he wanted to try to put together a jazz festival, you know, for Tallahassee.
When did he do this?
It was this year, so and early this year, late winter, early spring, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
So it wasn't just last month.
No.
Because see, that would be me. That's how I roll. It's like, hey, let's have a show. Yeah.
And it could have been last year. Was it last year? Or was it this year? Yeah, but it was late last year.
Okay, so let's just be honest.
Yeah, so first thing I told him was is that I had been approached before by people from the city and about having a jazz festival, and I'd had meetings at City Hall, but nothing ever came of it. And so this is the last 6-7 years ago, something like that. So I hadn't thought too much about it until I talked to John, and I said, sure, I'd be glad to help, but I thought that what we really should do, being that Tallahassee is a heavy blues area as well, we should combine the two and make it a jazz and a blues festival. That way, I think it would be a whole lot more attractive to the blues side as well as the jazz, you know, the jazz and blues people that love both. And so that's what we've done. And basically, my job has been as artistic director to identify and secure the talent. And that's what I did personally. I got on the phone. But what I had to do also, I had to get in touch with Gary Anton of the Bradfordville Blues Club here in town to have him be my blues consultant because he's the blues expert on the artist.
He knows that stuff.
Who's the top, who's the best, who we should try to get, who we should not try to get, things like that. So with his help on the blues side, and what I know on the jazz side, I was able to make a list, a four-tiered list, really. Internationally known artist, nationally known artist, regionally known, and locally known. And then you just simply plug those in, you know, and you divide it up, female vocalist, male vocalist. You have got to have a big band, like Hugh Hefner figured out years ago for the Playboy Jazz Festival in Hollywood, California, which is why it's still so successful. He made sure that he covered the entire spectrum of jazz, not just the modern, cerebral, electronic stuff. He made sure that there was always a big band at his, you know, Playboy Jazz Festival. And so that's what I knew how to do. I played so many of these festivals around the world that I knew what would really, really attract the people to them. And more importantly than that, what would attract the artists who want to play them more than once. So long story short, over a period of a month or so, I got on the phone and I got in touch with everybody and made my list of people who we wanted to have, and everybody said yes. And so here we are,
fantastic.
Ready to go, you know.
And were you excited about it as soon as John contacted you?
Of course. Of course, man, because I'm a musician.
Sell you on
no,
this idea.
You have to sell me off because, again, I've played the Nice Jazz Festival in East France. I played the Ferrano Jazz Festival in Japan. I played the Playboy Jazz Festival in Hollywood more than once. I played these festivals all over the place, all over the world, literally all over Hawaii, you name it, South Africa. So I know what makes these festivals work, and I know what makes them fail. And the main thing that makes them work is the level of talent, because that attracts people from all over the world.
Right.
I mean, I have friends of mine that literally fly to wherever we play, the Count Basie Orchestra. Wow. They fly to New York, they fly to London, and simply because they know the level of what
the
we're presenting to them.
Of the music,
so if you bring that level of musicianship or level of talent to Tallahassee in the jazz side and the blues side, that's a win-win. That's a win-win. Now you just have to have the infrastructure to make it work and the support of the local community, people that can really make it happen and get the word out like yourself. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much again. and that way you'll attract not just local people from Tallahassee, but people from the West Coast, the East Coast, you know, the Texas area, as well as Canada. I have a friend of mine that lives in Toronto that wants to fly down here. I have a friend that lives in Portland, Oregon that wants to fly here for this festival. So when you have level the musicianship that we have for this thing, man, to me, it'll eventually turn into an international jazz festival.
Right.
Which is what happened in East France.
Yeah.
That festival that started in Nice in 1948 was originally meant for the people in the south of France.
Uh-huh.
That wasn't meant for the whole world.
Uh-huh.
And now that's what it is.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Louis Armstrong was on that first one. And you have Louis Armstrong on a festival. The other musicians saw that. Man, let's play this festival that he did.
Uh-huh.
And now this is 2016 and it's still going on. Why not do something like that for this community here?
Might as well get started now.
Might as well get started, yeah.
It's called the Florida Jazz Blues Festival.
It's coming up
September 23rd, 4th, mm-hmm. and 5th. Mm-hmm. It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Mm-hmm. We are going to learn all about it and learn more from this fine man, Scotty mm-hmm. Barnhart, our mm-hmm. guest. You are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Scotty Barnhart, a celebrated jazz artist, a professor at Florida State University in jazz studies. He's a jazz professor of jazz trumpet and jazz studies. 14 years you've been doing that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What do you find most rewarding, I suppose? Easy question here, but when you think about your educational experiences as an instructor, as a professor.
Well, what's most rewarding for me really is really simple. I've been fortunate to have great teachers and mentors, and you know, people like Clark Terry, Freddie Hubbard, Wynton Marsalis, Nat Adderley, the musicians that played with Count Basie, and you know, people like Dizzy Gillespie. All of the information that I've gotten directly from them, I give it directly to my students. Mm. That's to me.
So you're carrying that water.
Absolutely.
It's the business of paying forward.
That's what it is, man. Everything that they told me and showed me or advised me on, I give it directly to my students. So there's no confusion as to what you need to do in order to become a jazz musician, which you have to do not only from a musical standpoint, from just how you carry yourself professionally, how you interact with other people as you travel around the world, and how you just live your life, you know. Right. So I'm able to give that directly to my students.
Right. Had a conversation recently with the folks that own B Sharps here in Tallahassee.
Yeah, Clarence and Jerry, yeah.
Yeah, and was over there one evening and recorded some of the music that was going on. It was a young man who was doing his recital, his final performance.
Yeah.
As a student, trombonist.
Yeah, okay.
Forgive me for not remembering
Tyler Ortman?
Probably. Yes, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
thank you. Mm-hmm. See, you would know that.
Yeah, he's one of my students.
Because,
well,
right. But, you know, the fact that in that room that evening, there were people who were saturated in that experience. Mm-hmm. They didn't need to have anybody explain it to them, right? You find that in North Florida, there is a similar sort of level of interest. Do you think that jazz and blues has that kind of
absolutely
traction?
I mean, Tallahassee, believe it or not, thanks to Cannonball and Nat Adderley, beginning in the 50s and 60s, really, Tallahassee
right
is...
Right in Frenchtown there.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Tallahassee is a serious jazz town. A lot of people really don't know that sometimes until they come out to a B-Sharps. Or until they go to, you know, whether it's Black Dog Cafe or whatever it is, wherever they hear local jazz, I mean, hear musicians playing jazz in Tallahassee. Once they get to know the musicians, they'll find it could be a Marcus Roberts sitting right there in front of you, playing in front of you. Somebody, you know, who's also won Grammys, who was in Wynton Marsalis' band for all those years. And when Wynton comes to town, he gets in my car and I take him to B-Sharps. I did that to him for him twice. Or I'll take him to wherever he wants to go hear whoever's playing.
Are we in need of more venues and bigger venues?
Yeah, well, I think this jazz festival is perfect. Sometimes in a particular city, you don't want to have too big of a venue. You want to have it a good enough size to where you could pack it.
Yeah.
That's really what I found. It really works well because then the audiences are really, really, really close together and they're close to the musicians, you know.
And what I liked about what Clarence has done over there, they hold themselves out as a jazz listening room.
Yeah, yeah, right? To listen, yeah.
Which
listen
means, you know what? You're here to listen to the music, to listen, brother.
Exactly right.
This is more. This is exactly not where you hang out with your bros and have a conversation.
Exactly. You're not the while the music is happening, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, there's plenty of time to do that when the music is open. You can talk in between songs or whatever. But when you're really sitting there listening, it takes you to a whole nother,
different
level, yeah. And you really get to understand about art and about just about, you know, life. Music teaches about life.
Curiously enough, did you and John have a relationship before he made that phone call? Did you know each other?
No, I don't think so.
So he reached out to you, and you had to get to know him a little bit and kind of where he's going with this deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it all sprung from there.
Absolutely.
And that was now just about a year ago, we'll say.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. John is a very, very hardworking man who has his ear.
He's a visionary.
He's absolutely has his ear to the pulse of what's happening in this city.
I think we're fortunate in these days when you see more and more of that kind of visionary thinking.
Mm-hmm.
We are less likely to wait for a larger organization or institution to do that for us. Florida State University is a fantastic contribution to this community. It is, in many ways, at the hub, or near the center of what we are, state capital,
that's right.
Florida State University. I mean, it's hard to imagine the community without those.
Exactly.
But it is also a sort of easy out for a lot of folks to say, you know, I don't really need to do that because we've got, you know, opening nights, or we've got, you know, the artist series.
And sure.
Why do we need to go and work that much harder? See, and yet you folks decide to come together and say, yeah, that's cool, but we want to do something more.
Exactly right.
We want to go a little further with this idea in and of itself.
But what we're doing, I guess the best compliment I've gotten so far about this festival is from a friend of mine on Facebook. And her father, I won't give her name, but her father was a famous jazz trumpeter by the name of Kenny Dorham. Mm. Played with Charlie Parker, everybody, you know, one of the pillars of jazz trumpet. And her simple comment to me was this: finally, a jazz festival that has real jazz and a festival that has real blues on it. Mm. One of the things that's happened over the last 20 or 30 years, well, 20 years I know in particular, at most of these jazz festivals around the world, not only in America here, is that they've gone from being originally a jazz festival to being a pop festival. They've gone from being a blues festival to being a folk festival or another pop, R&B, and soul festival. I mean, there's nothing wrong with those artists, but you just do not need a pop artist on a jazz festival because then you are confusing the public.
Mm-hmm.
And what I wanted to make sure that we did is that when you have the word jazz, that means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But to the jazz musician, it means something very specific. Mm-hmm. To me, that means Louis Armstrong, that means Dizzy Gillespie, that means Wynton Marsalis, that means Miles Davis, that means John Coltrane, that means Ella Fitzgerald, that means Sarah Vaughan, that means Charlie Parker, that means Cannonball and Natalie. Mm-hmm. So if we know that's what they are doing, if that's what those are jazz musicians are, then when you have these other people, you have to explain, what are they doing? So for me, that's why I had to consult Gary Anton, because I wanted to make sure when I got a blues person on this festival, it was indeed a blues person.
Yep.
Somebody that plays the blues.
Right.
Not somebody that plays rock and roll music and masquerades as the blues. Yeah. That's not what this music is. So not to try to be a complete purist, but on the other hand, hey, you know, if you want to go to Carrabba's and have an Italian dinner, you know, you're not looking for fish and chips, brother. Exactly. And if you walk in there and they don't have tomato sauce on anything, then we got a problem. That's not what, you know, so
that's
I just
what
wanted,
I'm saying.
So that's
I'm finally
what,
happy that we've moved on to talk about food, because this is really what I wanted to talk about with you. Because I'm saying there's got to be some very, very good barbecue somewhere,
you know,
in your
somewhere,
life.
But that's why. I mean, so that's why this festival is different. That's why it's needed.
Yeah.
Because we need to remind people of what the heritage of jazz and blues really is.
And let me ask you this. If I come to you from another planet and I say I hear all of these different things, and all of these artists, they're all saying that they're playing jazz, but I'm hearing different.
Yeah.
What do you tell me in a sentence or two is jazz?
Jazz is improvisation based on the blues. That's what Louis Armstrong was doing. That's what Count Basie was doing. That's what Duke Ellington was doing. It's improvisation based on the basic blues format. And what happened as around the turn of the 20th century, 1900, early 1900s, the music began to get more and more, they began to explore it more.
Experiment.
And so they would go from the blues format to include popular American songs, from Gershwin, from Cole Porter, people like that. And then the musicians themselves began to write songs that were based on a combination of those types of things. So you take a song like Duke Ellington's Satin Doll or Mood Indigo or Take the A-Train or many things that he wrote, it would be based with the blues feeling, but it would incorporate the form of the popular American song, which is based on European harmonies.
Wow.
So that's kind of in a nutshell what it is. And then as the times move along, rock and roll came out of the blues and jazz. Miles Davis started experimenting with things around 1968, 69 to get what we to eventually develop what we now call fusion, which is, you know, spurring groups like Weather Report and things like that. Some of the things Herbie Hancock was doing in his group called Headhunters. And but that's basically what jazz is. So jazz, you know, I wanted to make sure that we represented that well. So that's why we have the Rebirth Brass Band there. It goes back to 1900 and that kind of thing.
He is acknowledged as one of the authorities on the history of jazz trumpet. Barnhart intently researched and wrote the groundbreaking book, The World of Jazz Trumpet, a comprehensive history and practical philosophy, published by Hal Leonard. He is our guest this morning, our very good friend, Scotty Barnhart. You stay with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week, because though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best. And I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, brothers and sisters in Radio Land. This is blues guitarist Jerry Thigpen. Don't you move, because this is Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
time.
Listening to April in Paris, the Count Basie Orchestra under the leadership, the creative direction of the very famous two-time Grammy-winning Scotty Barnhart, who is our guest. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Are we getting through this all right? Are we doing okay?
Yes, I think so, yeah.
And now involved in this festival, pretty clear about your mission, aren't you? You don't get up in the morning and say, nah, I don't know, maybe that job at Sears is looking pretty good right now. When did you start playing?
I started playing trumpet when I was 9. Yeah. But my mom and my grandmother and my uncle, they're all musicians, so I guess I've been hearing music from the time I was in the womb, you know? Seriously, my mom sings every day, plays piano,
look at that.
All that, so I sort of kind of grew up right in the middle of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where do you hail from? Are you
Atlanta? Born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you started your career professionally, how old were you?
Well, my first professional job, I would say, when I was 16.
Yeah.
And I understand that to mean that whenever you get paid for doing something, then that's when you're professional. So, I was 16 years old, and I ended up being the trumpet soloist for the Atlanta Falcon Band.
Wow.
The NFL, because my high school band director was the bass player in the group, and he said, you know, they're looking for a trumpet player, and I told him you can do it. And I was like, what? The next thing I know, that was that. So I did that for
you. Remember
a year.
How much you got paid for that game?
Man, I think it was a weekly. Every game was about $50 or something like that, $60. I mean, you get to go to the game for free, you know, and play and get
not
paid. So it was fun. Yeah, right? absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah. That was the first one.
That was the first time. Mm-hmm. Have you, when you've made Tallahassee your home for some time? Have you
been second home? Yes.
Florida State University, you've been there 14 years. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When did that begin?
That started in 2003, and I was asked to come back and teach there part-time.
I see.
Because they didn't want me to leave the road, and I said, well, I can't leave the road. I said, well, we don't want you to do that anyway. So I'm part-time, which is basically half of every semester, eight out of 16 weeks, but usually I do 10 or 12 weeks, you know, and my Basie schedule weaves in and out of that, and it works out very well for me, and but I'm based in Los Angeles, so Tallahassee is like my second home. I'm here, you know. This time I'm here for like 2 months straight before I have a break and that kind of thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you like about LA?
Oh, I was telling some friends of mine the other day the energy of it.
Yeah.
The energy of it is a real. You can just feel, at least for me, I can just feel the energy. And it's a very vibrant energy. I can drive. I'm 10 minutes from the ocean. I can go to the ocean or any particular night of the week. I can hear any kind of music I want, any kind of food I want. And it's just a nice place. I just like the energy there.
My oldest son, Morgan, is living there.
Oh, really?
He's a musician, composer.
Okay.
He lives in downtown Los Angeles, down in the industrial district.
Yeah,
one of those old warehouses that they converted.
Okay, cool, man.
And he talks about how in Los Angeles, they don't care who you are. Mm-hmm. They don't care if they know you or not. Mm-hmm. They will show up just to see what you're
exactly
all about.
Exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right.
They'll give you a try.
Exactly right. Yeah. It's a great place.
Whereas with us, Tallahassee, you know, you have to pass the scratch and sniff test before we show up.
That's right. Yeah.
And we tend to be, I think, a bit narrower in our appreciation. Mm-hmm. I hope that this festival will provide us some opening up some inroads into our intellectual expansion, right?
I think it will.
So we can start to do that. Folks, it's called the Florida Jazz and Blues Festival. Mm-hmm. The creative director is our guest this morning, the very famous Scotty Barnhart. I know. I get paid every time I say this.
All right.
See? John's over there counting these things, right? So two-time Grammy Award winning, celebrated jazz trump. I mean, It just goes on and on. Right, you're an author?
Yes.
Man, I'm just feeling so outclassed here. I have nothing to show. I have nothing.
I'm pleasure to be on your show, man.
Well, brother, listen.
Thank you.
Folks, I want to tell you now, if you haven't already got this squared away on your calendar, shame on you. The 23rd, the 24th, 25th of September. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Because John is such a nice man, This is free. This is all free. It's not. Well, some of it is free.
Some of it, yeah.
Okay, so you get your blanket and your picnic lunch, you know, and your quarter malt liquor or whatever. Do they let you drink in the park? I don't know if they do or not. Well, whatever. We'll figure that part out. Show up and enjoy some great, great jazz, some great blues.
Right.
There are some ticketed events for the festival. Mm-hmm. You can find that online, and that website is going to be
FL for Florida, Jazz, J-A-Z-Z, and A-N-D, Blues, BLUES.com. So FLJazzAndBlues.com.
Simple enough.
Yeah.
Folks, check it out. Do it right now. Mm-hmm. Get your tickets, because you know what's going to happen. Those tickets are going to go flying. Mm-hmm. And John will be like, man, I'm so sorry, but you know, we do have this part over here that's free. So you can do that too. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to miss a great opportunity with our good buddy, Scotty Barnhart. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
What a joy. Folks, that's what we've got for you today. It's all good, because we are what Tallahassee is talking about this week. That's why we do what we do. We're the production of Alcom Marketing and Advertising. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. We will be back again next Saturday morning. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.